I'm Sam Evans, and as you can hear, my voice is spent because I've been sharing passionately all day on Philippians 2, where Paul is encouraging us to know God, to seek after Him, to press into Him, and so be encouraged as you listen to this message. I've entitled this sermon, Forget About It and Move On. What a great title, right? Just forget about it and let's move on. Because I really believe that's what God wants us to do today. And I'm going to share from this scripture, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. We're going to read lots of verses. We have it on the screen for you so you can read along. But this isn't the time for you to fall asleep or settle back. This is time for you to agree with God's word. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? That means it just gets right in there. The truth gets right in there and it starts to do a little bit of surgery on our hearts. It starts to change us. It starts to shape us. It starts to cut out the rubbish. That's how powerful the word of God is. And so as soon as we start reading the word of God, it's moving because it's alive. The word of God is alive. It has power to it. And so whether you realize it or not, even when you're reading the word of God at home, it's operating, it's moving, it's shaping, it's building, it's shifting. And so as we read this together right now, it's going to start affecting your life. So if you want this word to affect your life, if you want to be changed through this word, this is when we start reading it and you don't go into a coma, you start to say yes. Amen. That's for me. I want that. I receive that. So are you ready to approach the word of God a bit differently today? Yes. Philippians 3:7. But whatever form of things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. This is Paul talking to us about how incredible he was as a Pharisee. He had it nailed. He had it down pat, how to be the best kind of a Christian, I suppose, but, you know, a Jew. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the Anointed One, and that I may actually be found and known as in Him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demand, the ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me His own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this in mind and hold these convictions. And if any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Hallelujah. Amazing. Amen, God. Let it be unto us right now that we would know you. Hallelujah. See, this is way better, right? Look how alive the atmosphere is here. Because we're just coming into agreement with the kingdom of God. The first point that I want to bring to our attention, to know him. What's your focus? Is it your dreams? Is it your goals? Is it what you're meant to be doing? Is it your work? Is it your family? What is your focus? Here, Paul is encouraging us that the one focus we should have over everything else is to know Jesus. But we get lost in the doing. We get lost in the processes. We go, well, I got to have this dream fulfilled and I got to reach this goal. And so I got to do these things for God. And we lose the focus. The reason we are here is Jesus. Our primary goal in life is not to have a big bank account. It's not to own our own home. Our primary focus is Him. Jesus, to know him. And that's what Paul encourages us here, to know him. He was an incredible apostle that achieved so many great things for God. And yet he would write to the Philippians and he'd say, listen, guys, you can get caught up in church. You can get caught up in all the stuff of church, but this is my goal. I want to know him. See, we've got to understand something. When we focus on things other than Jesus, we start to lose connection with our resource of power. Because what you focus on, that's what you draw upon. So if you're focusing on hurt, guess what fills your heart? Hurt. If you're focusing on work, guess what fills you? Work. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And then I've got to do that. Oh, and then I have to ring that person up. Blah, blah, blah. And what happens? Our whole world starts to revolve around our work. Where we focus on our family. Family, family, family. Oh, is the family all right? Is the family provided for? Is the family, 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 family. And then in this day and age, we've elevated the family to sometimes be more important than Jesus. No, I want to tell you, get it into kingdom order. Jesus is the focus. And when Jesus is the focus, he gives you the power and the anointing to have the most incredible family you could ever have. We get focused on these other things and they start to consume us. And the problems in our family and the issues in our family and the worries in our family rather than Jesus. Jesus, the focus. We see in Revelation 2, verse 2, it says, I know your industry and activities. This is God talking to one of the churches. See, sort of reminds us maybe a little bit, maybe, anyway. I know your industry and activities. Laborious toil and trouble and your patient endurance and how you cannot tolerate wicked men and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. See, these are all good things. But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. and have deserted me, your first love. Are you in love with Jesus today? Is he your heart? Is he the one that you think about all the time? Because when you're in love with someone, you think about them. You plan to be with them. You want to hang out with them. You want to know what they're thinking. Where are you at? Are you in love with him? Is he consuming you? Is he your heartbeat? Now, I know, you know, we can love him, but are you in love with him? Are you in love with Jesus today? Is he your focus? Because when we love him, we spend time with him, what happens is that we get to know him. And when we know him, as Paul's saying, I just want to know him. When you start to know him, you understand my future's all sorted out. I'm fine. Everything's going to be great because I love him. And now I know him, and his character says he's going to turn all things around for good. His character is that he is a good God and he has good gifts for his children. I know him. I know what he's like. He loves me. No matter what I'm going through, his love will never be separated from me. Nothing can take me out of the palm of his hands. I know him. See, when we know him, we understand that part of his character, part of his personality, part of his nature is that he's a healer. Jesus is our healer. And so when we get sick, when we get a diagnosis, we don't freak out, we don't worry, we don't fall apart. We go, I know him. I've been hanging with Jesus, and even though my physical body might be saying these things to me, even though I might have a test result from a scientific test that says I've got this disease, I know him. I know my God. He is my healer, and so therefore I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress out. I don't need to freak out. All I need to is seek him, run after him, chase him, and he is going to download the healing for me because he loves me. He's got good things for me. See, when we seek him, when we love him, we know him. Get to know who this God is. It's not just on paper. It's a reality. It's an experience. It's a lifestyle. It's seeing the kingdom of God become a reality here. So when we seek him, when we love him, we run after him, we understand that we don't have to get worried when we get a big bill that comes in and we don't have the capacity to pay for that bill. We don't freak out. We don't worry. We don't let anxiety overwhelm us. I know him. I know. He's a provider. His nature, his character, his very essence is provider. So if that's him and I know him and I'm found in him and he is mine and I am his, therefore I can receive the supernatural provision for my lack, because in him I lack nothing, because he's my provider. But how many of us freak out in the struggle, in the hard time? Do we not know him, that he's a good God? He's good. So goodness comes from him. Goodness flows out of him. What's good? Peace is good. Joy is good. Provision is good. Healing is good. Freedom is good. These are all the things that our good God provides for us. We know he's got good plans for us, plans to prosper us, give us a hope and a future. That's the God we seek. This is who he is. Paul encourages us to press on towards Christ. The Bible doesn't make mistakes. Why use this word, press? Why use it? Why don't you say walk on? Just walk over there. Just have a little walk. Walk on. No, he says press on. Why press? Because our flesh doesn't want it. This world doesn't want it. The devil doesn't want it. So there's an opposition to our seeking the Lord. The enemy does not want you seeking God. Because if you get hold of God, do you realize you are unstoppable? If you really know Him and you lay hold of God, and you come to understand Him, no matter what the enemy throws at you, he's defeated. He can't stick on you. He can't touch you. He can't get to you. Doesn't matter what he uses, because I've pressed into Him. So this is why we're encouraged today. We need to press, push, push ourselves, press into God, no matter the opposition, no matter how I'm feeling. That's why we encourage you. Don't go by your personality. Don't go by what you're feeling. That's the flesh trying to dictate terms. You've got to press past that. You've got to say, flesh, I don't care what you say. Feelings, I don't care what you say. Circumstances, I don't care what you say. I'm going to press into my God. And we need to be men and women that aren't so wishy-washy and wimpy. That's why we need personal trainers. They push us, don't they? Push us past our wimpy little, I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. You are better than what you realize. And we need to press forward in God. That's why God, you know, uses these wonderful illustrations in the Bible. You know, there's so many truths in the Word of God. It's like when Abraham was challenged by God to sacrifice his son. Now, Abraham had the promise. He gets the promise. He has this child, and God says, now give it to me. Give me this child. Sacrifice this child. And then God uses an illustration of not down the road, but they had to climb up a mountain. Because why? It's hard. Let's live in reality here. It's not so easy to sacrifice your son. But this is where we see the heart of Abraham. I love you more. I love you more than the promise. I love you more than my family. I love you more than my flesh. I want you more than anything else. And so he pressed up that mountain. He climbed up that mountain. Was it easy? No. Was that mountain probably filled with tears as he knew what would lay ahead for him? But he pressed. This is more. I want you more. I want you more. I love you more. You're my everything. God, you're my consuming fire. I love you. And he had to press up that mountain. But this is what happens in the press. This is what's so powerful about the press. When you press into God, when you're going through certain circumstances and situations and they're hard, but you press into God. We see on that mountaintop that God provided a ram in the thicket. He provided a substitutional sacrifice instead of his son. And so for the first time in the Bible, we see the character of God revealed. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So through the circumstances, through the press, through that seeking, all of a sudden, the character of God is revealed. And for the first time in the Bible, it's recorded, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. See, in the press, you keep pressing in, or you're going to discover things about God that you never realized were about His character. You're going to break through into the things of God, and that truth and that revelation is going to empower you, going to strengthen you, going to propel you forward. And today, We are the children of Abraham, a man who pressed into God, who put God first, who sought God first, and we are his children. Oh, the provision of God. Can we see it today? How powerful that is. But the thing about our personal pressing into God, just like with Abraham, is that his press revealed a character of God to us. We didn't have to go through that. He made a way for us to see the character of God. Do you understand that when you go through hard times and you press into God, your revelation of God in that situation will reveal God's nature to somebody else? And so your press is important. Your press is powerful. Your press is pioneering for the next generation to come to understand God in all of his fullness. Church history is full of it. Someone pressed into God and revealed something about God for us. So powerful. God is so powerful. It's like when going through my parents' divorce, I'd, you know, been raised religiously, so knew lots of things about God, you know, Mary, Joseph, all of that kind of thing, you know, being in this religious church, and but I didn't know him. I knew about him, didn't know him personally. But through that press, through that struggle, that's when I started to turn my heart and seek him. Are you real? What I've heard about, is this a reality? So that's when I started to press into God. And that's when God started to reveal himself to me. So this is when I found Jesus, my Savior. I discovered him in reaching out to him. Is this real? Yeah. And I saw him as my Savior. I came to know him as my comforter. I came to know him as my joy. The oil of joy for mourning, because I was mourning, but I came to realize that in the morning, he had an oil for me that brought joy in the midst of trials. See, everything that we go through, it's an opportunity for us to press into God, to come to that understanding, oh, this is who you are. This is what you're like. Oh, what I've heard about someone else experiencing, I'm now experiencing. God becomes a reality, and the nature of God and the fullness of God becomes a reality as we press in, as we seek him, as we put him first. And then God, through Paul, encourages us, forget what lies behind. Forget it. In our day and age, with all sorts of worldly philosophies and stuff, it's amazing how people want you to bring up your past. Let's talk about your past. Past hurts because I've got to deal with it. I've got to deal with that. I need to relive all of those past hurts. I need to talk it all out. In fact, let's go back to when I was being born and my mother didn't want to push me out. We have no idea what it was like going through that birth canal. Praise God. But let's try and dredge it up. Let's try and remember the trauma. Let's try and remember the trauma of when we were children or when we were teenagers and that horrible thing. Let's talk about it. Let's relive it. Let's talk about it again. Let's relive it again, because we've got to bring up these emotions, because we've got to sort them out. Worldly philosophy. Where in the New Testament can you show me that Paul says, let's have a little chit-chat about how horrible your life is? Let's bring up all these emotions, because we've got to deal with the emotions. Forget what lies behind. Forget about it. Don't bring it up. Don't rehash it. Don't relive it. Don't stir up all those rotten emotions again and again and again and again. I want to smash this out of the church. It's unhealthy. It's not beneficial. Dredging up that trauma will not help you. It'll hurt you and wound you again and again and again. God doesn't want you wounded. He wants you healed. And anyway, it's been proven now. When we see the research, Dr. Caroline Leaf is a wonderful person that has revealed to the church how powerful thoughts are and how we can shrivel up those thoughts, those memories, those pains by stopping the thought process. Otherwise, we're feeding these trees growing in our mind rather than shriveling them up and saying, it's over. The past is over. I let it go. Why? Because we can't do anything about it. We can't rewind and remove the hurt. We can't. We can't say, I wish that never happened to me. We just got to say it's over, it's gone, it's dealt with. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from that. Whether I was abused or whether I was the abuser, God has cleansed me from all that rubbish. I'm going to leave it in my past. But how many of us still live with the effects of our past? Some of us even glory in the past. How wonderful it used to be with that group of friends. Or how wonderful it used to be in that workplace. Or how wonderful it used to be in that suburb. Why did you move? Or how wonderful that old church used to be. They never used to push us like at Planet Shakers. Why did you leave? Oh, you forgot. You forgot, didn't you? You forgot the reason why and how unhappy you were and how hurt you were. Oh, now it's convenient to forget the past. But this is where the children of Israel were the same when God had delivered them. God had revealed his character that he's a deliverer. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. They were complaining. They were seeking God. They were asking God for deliverance. What did God do? He delivered them. And when he delivered them, he laden them down with treasure. They went out of Egypt far greater than when they were in Egypt. Yet, when they come across a hurdle, when they come across a difficult circumstance, this is what they start to do. They forget about the character of God and they start to whinge and complain in Exodus 16. Verse 2, there too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Living in the past. But forgetting the character of God. Did they forget how beaten they were? How even though they might have been sitting around eating pots, they could hardly lift that bit of meat to their mouth because they were so exhausted from their slavery? Did they forget the pain, the agony, the shame, the humiliation? Where was all of that experience? Conveniently, they haven't brought that into their future. They forgot. And that's what we can sometimes do. Forget. Why? Friends, we can't let the past be in our present. We can let the goodness of God and the character of God be in our present. But we can't allow these circumstances to still tell us about today and about our future. We have to let the past stay in the past. It's got to go. If you are still living with memories and hurts and wounds of the past, let them go today. Cut it off you. Let all that rubbish go. Stop talking about it. Stop rehashing it. Stop thinking about it. It's over. Because this is what Paul wants us to do. Strain to what lies ahead. Why does he use the word strain again? Why press? Why strain? Because it's hard for us. It's hard. We want to dwell on our past. We want to keep this pain with us. And for whatever reason, it makes our flesh feel better, that we're so wounded. Bible's saying, strain. Get this flesh. Get rid of this enemy who keeps, you know, wanting you to stand still. Be still. Don't go anywhere forward. Don't move forward. What do you mean move forward? Just stay here. No, strain. Effort. Let me be your personal trainer again. Come on, get up again. Go again. Press again. Make the effort again. Come on, you can do it. There's more in you. You're better than what you realize. There is more of God in you than you realize. There is a greater destiny than you realize. Oh, I want you to get up and go and push and strain forward into the things that God has got for you. All the things He's got for you. It's overflow, right? Oh, far beyond your highest thoughts and prayers. That's what God has got for you. Strain forward. Push yourself. Don't allow yourself to shrink back, because what does lie ahead in Colossians 3, 1 and 2? If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasure that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth. What is God saying to us? Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off the enemy. Get your eyes off the limitations of this natural world. Lift your eyes to see, oh, where my help comes from. Lift your eyes to see the kingdom of God that is full of joy, full of love, full of peace, full of provision. That is what God wants for your life. He wants you to experience the kingdom of God and all its fullness. Lift your eyes to see Him. Lift your eyes to see His provision. Lift your eyes to see your Savior. To see the kingdom of God. This is what He wants for you. Oh, stop looking at the rubbish that maybe you've been living in. Stop looking at the past. What you didn't have. What you didn't see. Lift your eyes. See His kingdom. See Him. See His character. See His power. See His ability. Oh, see Him in all His glory. Oh, what He has for you. Remember, and this is where in the church we should not ever live with the fear of death. Fear of death shouldn't be part of our makeup. Why? Because when we close our eyes for the last time, when we breathe that last breath, who's going to be there? Jesus. We know Him, right? He's going to be there. He's going to take us by the hand and He's going to lead us home. Into His glorious presence, never to be parted from Him ever again. Oh, there is heaven, is our home, friends. Heaven is our destination. Oh, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, a land of joy, a land of peace, a land, Lord, that we can only dream of, imagine. Oh, but it's greater than our dreams and our imaginings. Oh, where the streets are have so much in God. There's so much that He's already done in your life. But how easily we've forgotten. How easily we forget what I already have. I already have His peace. I already have His joy. I already have His life. I already have healing. I already have provision. I already have freedom. This is what I already possess, and this is what I'm going to walk in. This is what I'm going to agree with. This is what I'm going to believe. I'm going to agree and believe with what I already have until that becomes a reality. That's what faith is all about. Faith is possessing the things of the kingdom and believing them until they become a reality. So I'm not letting go, God, until I'm healed. I'm not letting go, God, until I'm blessed. I'm not letting go, God, until I'm free. I'm not letting go, God, until I'm provided for. Because that's who you are. That's your character. That's your nature. You've already shown it to me. You've already revealed it. So I'm hanging on. Oh, until I get it. Until I live it. Until I experience it. Oh, because you're a good God. Oh, you want to provide for your children. You love me. The plans you have for me. Oh, that's so good. And so I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to press. I'm going to strain. I'm going to keep going until I experience your kingdom. For us to possess it, live it, experience it, taste it, smell it, feel it.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's message and feel empowered. Come on, connect with us here at Planet Shakers. Go onto our website, social media. We'd love to hear from you and hear all the wonderful things that God's been doing in your life.